I miss a green, for example, I'm already upset. When I find my ball in the bunker, I'm really upset. And when I find my ball in a
fried egg.
The dreaded fried egg.
Fried egg lie, I'm about ready to run off the golf course.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Fried Egg Podcast. We are now got a couple of regulars here. We've got Tron Carter from No Laying Up and DJ Pyhowski from Scratch TV. We are going to preview, talk a little bit about New Orleans, as well as rehash the last couple weeks with the Heritage, the Valero, the Big Cedar Lodge tournament. So, guys, welcome on.
Thanks, man.
Thanks. We're sitting here, Jack's Beach,
together, in studio today.
The flush.
Yeah, DJ and Tron have created a makeshift studio where, you know, they're sitting next to each other, and I'm back in Chicago.
You can hear his high five.
Kind of like that Golf Central yesterday. They did like a whole team thing.
Really?
Yeah, it's a whole team thing on Golf Central.
Missed it.
What was the team? Was George Savarikas there?
Savarikas and Rosa Fort. I think they high fived about seven times.
Jorge,
your boy.
Yeah, he's
Mr. Rosa Fort.
Mr. Rosa Fort for sure. So
off to a good start. Yeah. Off topic.
Off topic already. So, Heritage, you know, you guys were out there. Give us a little lay of the land. What you thought? You know, how was Harbortown?
DJ had never seen the course before.
First time. Did not disappoint. Just a very fun, fun place to just walk around and watch golf. I mean, it's fun to see guys deciding what shots to hit. I mean, we were camped out behind number 9, and you know, saw everything from dude hitting drivers to Charles Howell apologizing to us after hitting 7-iron off the tee, and just all kinds of scores, all kinds of strategy. It was awesome, so fun to see, and just perfect weather. And I thought it was interesting that we were able, you know, Wes Bryan was able to overcome a little altercation with Tron to get the W, which was very interesting.
Yeah, I heard rumors of this altercation. Can you set the scene and give us a little color on what happened?
I don't even. I requested a comment regarding.
I think you kind of just shouted something at him as he walked by. It was kind of more about it, and you said, "Hey, it's Tron," and then he kind of waved his hand and scoffed, and was like, "Oh, Tron."
He wanted to come on the.
It was all very much in good fun. He was going to practice, and obviously that was a good decision.
Yeah, he wanted to come on the Trap Draw podcast this weekend because he took the weekend off. But then I think he realized that it's an imaginary podcast.
So, I thought you guys wanted to squash the beef.
We do want to squash the beef.
So I could see a question, you know, in his press conference being, you know, I heard that you snubbed Tron Carter and him pulling a Shooter McGavin saying, "Sorry, I was too busy winning."
It's true. You know what? I was rooting for him down the stretch, though. Mm-hmm. It's a good tournament. It was kind of an LPCP takeover for the first couple days, and then things kind of righted themselves. I mean, real talk, though, I think I respect the heck out of him winning in his first, 6 months on tour here. After getting the Battlefield exemption last year, I mean, that's
all he does is win.
Yeah,
that's it.
The Battlefield exemption's like the they should call it the Tiger Call of Duty Battlefield exemption.
It is like one of the coolest things in golf that rarely we're allowed to talk about. I think just because it's so rare that it happens, but that's like going out there and winning 3 times is just so badass of a way to get your card.
So I was thinking about this today. Like, how about? Instead of, so you know how Premier League soccer has relegation? like, I feel like instead of just having this kind of milquetoast priority ranking or, you know, status, they should do relegation on the PGA Tour. So, like, Poulter just got relegated.
I mean, they kind of do that, right?
Yeah, like, but call it relegation.
Oh, it's more of a semantic thing.
Yeah, whereas, like, Brian Gay, like, he avoided relegation last week, much to my chagrin.
Are you... Okay.
Well,
they should do, like, quarterly relegations.
Yeah.
I would love to see more fluctuation, you know?
For sure. Oh, they made it way too hard for guys to lose their card and for guys that... I'm going to bang on this with the Heritage a little bit. It's kind of a funky field because it's, I guess it's like one of the few, like four or five invitational events on tour. It doesn't totally go by priority ranking. It's like, there's also like past champion, you know, much more weighted heavily. I don't know. I don't really pretend to understand how it works, but I did think it was BS that my man JT Poston, the postman, 90th in the FedEx Cup, and he can't get into a freaking event. I mean, that, you know, rookie year, it's like, come
he's,
on, man. Like,
he's from the Carolinas, too.
Exactly. He's from North Carolina. He lives down the road in Sea Island. Like, tailor-made for this course. And he can't even get in the field because of Poulter and Brian Gay.
Well, that's what I was going to – actually, that was the example I was going to bring up, was, like, it's kind of a cool example to see someone like Brian Gay, who I assume got in the field because he's a past champion. I don't know what his status is, but I know
he was on major medical.
Maybe. Either way, I mean, it's cool to see someone like that. If Poston or those guys are not going to get in the field, it's cool. You know, what you don't want to see is somebody who does get in, come in and finish, you know, 125th. So at least it was cool to see Brian Gay. Come in and, like, hang up an awesome score and play well.
You know what's interesting, which I looked at all those stats of Wes Bryan and Luke Donald. And they're, like, identical for the week there. And then it got me thinking, is, like, Wes Bryan, like, this era's Luke Donald?
Like, so I was going to ask you about that. One of the things that everybody loves talking about with Wes is, you know, he was kind of a, you know, just a really solid college player. And then, you know, he did this putting overhaul, and now he's, like, a world beater. I don't know any more about that. Like, do you know what he's been changing?
It's called, like, the perfect putting aid. And it's like this big metal thing. And it kind of looks like a stimp meter. But then it's got a...
I think we saw him walking by with that, actually, when he ghosted Trump.
So, I don't know exactly how far you're supposed to be, but it's got notches. And then it's got a laser on it. So, you figure out, like, the exact break and the exact speed to make putts perfectly. And then, like, that's the whole thing. Like, it teaches you how to read greens better and then how to hit putts with better pace.
Sounds a little Bryson-y to me.
Sounds like he's in with big data.
Yeah, honestly, like, the guy's, like, career changed when he started using this because, like, he became, like, the best putter in the world or one of the best putters in the world. And, you know, anybody that says putting doesn't matter anymore, I mean... Everybody hits the ball relatively the same on the PGA Tour. And, I mean,
Wes Bryan. Except for Aaron Baddeley.
Just a grenade out of nowhere.
Aaron Baddeley.
I mean, that guy must be the best putter in the history of the world.
He's won like five times.
I know. That's what I'm saying, man.
I remember I saw Aaron Baddeley play in the 1997 U.S. Junior. I was 11 at the time, and it was at Conway Farms in Lake Forest. And I went out, and I was shocked. I was in awe of Aaron Baddeley's game. He was, like,
it's
the number
one.
He was so good. He was the number one, I think, amateur and junior.
Brad played. He flew to Fiji, I think our junior year of high school, playing the Aaron Baddeley World Junior Championship. And, like, I remember all of our teachers were like, where are you going? And he was like, oh, I'm going to Fiji this week to play golf.
Man.
And he was gone for like 10 days. And they were like, all right, you're on the verge of failing out of school, man. Like, they had to have a sit down with his parents and stuff. But, I mean, Aaron Baddeley had his own worldly junior event in Fiji.
All the guys are doing that. I saw JT had an AJGA event. You know, Jimmy Walker's got an AJGA event.
Your boy.
Hunter Mahan.
Hunter Mahan probably does. What does he even do? Is he on tour still? Does he have a card?
He pops up every now and again.
He made the cut at Heritage.
I think he was he was in the Web.com Tour Finals last year.
I don't know.
I don't know that he got through, to be honest.
No, I think this is the last year of his... Did he win in 14, and then you get two full years.
Yeah.
Why would he be in the finals then?
Just trying to up his priority.
Maybe. We'll investigate.
He's playing for the love of the game.
Yeah, we'll get back to you on that.
So then we had the Valero the next week.
Hold on. Going back, Luke Donald. Is Matthew Fitzpatrick like the millennial version of Luke Donald?
No, Wes Bryan's Luke Donald. Matthew Fitzpatrick's way better at TD Green.
Just because his stats were
they have identical. The same game. They don't drive it well. They hit it like short. They don't drive it well. They hit wedges and they have unbelievable short games and putt well. Like they're like identical players.
What's the scouting report on Fitzpatrick's game? I would love to say that I've watched him more than I have.
He's like Spieth. He's really? Like moderately long, all-around game.
Diet Spieth.
Just very tidy.
Yeah, he's tidy.
Yeah.
He's very
not
talented.
Not going to make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, very talented.
Spieth zero.
Yeah, he's England's version of Spieth.
From Chicago's Big Ten team.
He spent, like, that's the funniest thing, is he spent, like, 8 weeks at Northwestern. And he, like, rocks a Northwestern band.
Yeah, I see more Northwestern-themed stuff.
Yeah.
He literally...
He's in with Rovell, isn't he?
And Luke Donald.
Yeah. He left Northwestern, because Northwestern doesn't start school till after Labor Day. He left in, like, December. So he spent 10 weeks there.
Good 10 weeks.
Hey
man, when you're ready, you're ready.
Where does Northwestern play their home? Like, what's their home track for golf?
They play North Shore, or I think they play North Shore Country or Skokie on Mondays. They play North Shore Country Club, Skokie, Glenview Club. They got a nice little rotation of North Shore Country Clubs they play.
And then fly down to Florida in the winter when the weather should.
Yeah, they go hang out with LD down in Florida, I think, a lot at the Bears Club.
Hashtag Jupe Life.
Jupe Life.
Hey, big week for Jupe Life Kevin Tway last week.
Huge week.
Nuked that.
Got to make hay while the sun shines.
On 18.
Yeah.
He was like 295.
Yeah, that was monster.
Nukes a 3-1 over the green uphill.
I kind of think he's going to be good.
I don't know too much about him. He was solid in college, I know, Oklahoma State. Yeah, I watched him a little bit on Sunday, but couldn't really tell you a ton about his game.
Is he one of those guys, though, that just a bomb and gouge specialist to where probably wouldn't have as good of a chance if not for 3/4 of the courses on tour being...
I don't know. I mean, this week's not super bomb and gougy, is it? I mean, it's...
That Valero? Valero wasn't very bomb and gougy.
Yeah, but it's kind of a... Yeah, but you got to be good off the tee. It's not bomb and gougy, but you got to be accurate off the tee.
Yeah.
You got to
hit it
really
good. I feel like
good.
It's really accurate off the tee despite being long.
I don't know. I think he's got a lot of potential. There's so many good rookies now. I mean, like Spahn, Poston, Brian.
Spahn might be top 5 players in the world. No, I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, go ahead and lay out the case.
I'm gonna pull up his
Ollie's stuff. Been really good too. Schneider Dan's.
Yeah, there's been a lot of just quietly good rookies that are kinda like finishing, you know,
the postman.
Just top 30.
Yeah, they're just like consistently doing well. I don't know,
I heard a stat about Dominic Pizzelli.
Oh, he's really good too.
He's got like, I gotta look up his stats, but I think he's got like 2 top 5s and like 8 missed cuts or something like that.
It's kind of the way to do
like,
it, though.
He's deep in that Scott Stallings game of just win or miss a cut.
He's deep in that lasagna game.
Pizzelli?
big marinara. All right, Spawn's gone from, let's see here. He's gone from being like 1600th in the world and playing the Canadian Tour.
Winning the money list.
The guy's just bootstrapped his way into the PGA Tour, and he's just taking scalps, man. Crushing people. Loving.
He kind of looks like Ryan Moore, too.
Totally.
DJ's very into that.
Yeah.
The Ryan Moore.
Ryan Moore, JJ Spawn, Kevin Chappell, kind of a hybrid is what I think my game is kind of modeled after.
Big week for you with the Chappell win, huh?
Huge week for me. Very vindicating. Fellow short backswinger Kevin Chappell get it done.
I am Chappie.
That was awesome. Let's get into it. Let's talk Valera. I'm into Kevin Chappell.
Yeah, I am too. I think I like everybody though. So
I thought you liked nobody.
Yeah, I like everybody's game.
If you hate everybody, do you hate anybody? That's kind of the thing.
I mean, Chappell.
Just like if everybody stinks, does anybody stink?
Yeah.
You gotta like a guy winning when he hasn't, you know, when he's been second for so long. Yeah. Like,
was he the best player without a win?
I don't think so. Because it depends on what you term win. Like PGA Tour.
Monty's the best player without a win.
PGA Tour win.
Yeah.
If it's PGA Tour win, then like Alex Noren's in the top 10 in the world and doesn't have the PGA Tour win.
Yeah. True.
And Monty's. The best player in the world without a PGA Tour win.
Did Monty never win a PGA Tour event?
He never won a PGA Tour event. It's the most mind-blowing thing in the world, man.
You know why? Every time he was in the U.S., he was just...
But he didn't even win, like, a co-sanctioned
deal. He was just getting steep in the National Park game.
That's true.
How are you going to win at Pebble when you're just hanging out at, you know...
Big Sur.
John Muir Woods.
Or Josh.
I think that's National Park.
I think it is. Look it up. Tweet at me if that's not real.
Well, speaking of woods, can we talk about the Big Cedar Lodge?
Sure.
Yeah.
Is that all you got in Valero?
Dude. That tournament sucks.
Here's what I want to say about Valero. I'm at the Tour Championship last year. Kevin Chappell hit, like, one of the, like, nerviest putts I've ever seen.
I think I remember
On 18 to get into that playoff, or to win outright, and ended up getting into the playoff. And I was terrified to see him, like, standing over that putt on 18, or, you know, at Valero. He just buried it.
It was kind of
awesome. That's the thing. If you see a guy win, like, especially because he was talking about it in his presser afterwards. He was like, yeah, I had a putt that I thought was to win last year at one event, at Bay Hill, I think, and he left it, like, 4 feet short, and then he left another putt.
Yeah.
And I think he left it crazy short in the Tour Championship. And so to see somebody slay the dragon, their demons like that.
Totally.
That's so much cooler than just seeing, like, Big Cat in 97 just, like, a little tap in. You know, like, that's my one problem with
tight fist bump.
That, like, yeah, where it's like, man, I had, like, 15 putts to get this done. It's like, man, you should have made the first one.
Yeah.
That's, it was, like, kind of eerily similar to Hoffman's putt last year. Too.
Crazy.
It was like the same length, like almost the same spot on the green, but
same emotional reaction too.
Yeah. And you know, like with Chappell last year, he lost to like Rory, he lost to Jason Day at Arnold Palmer. I don't know where else it's not like he was losing to scrubs. He had three runners
up.
He
was in the top five at Players.
I remember he almost won the Memorial one year. You know who beat him?
Kuchar. Oh man, that's a big. Hey,
not bad for a pull.
Speaking of, I had this question written down. I wanted to know, you know, Kuchar isn't playing this week. Is it because he couldn't find a partner, or like who would be his ideal partner? You know, for this event,
dude. You know what? Either Justin Huber, undefeated. Shout out Justin Huber. Or I mean, his partner is. His partner's laid up, man. The cat.
Yeah. It was out of solidarity with the cat.
I respect it.
He's probably doing like some tag team Call of Duty with him this week.
He's just probably getting deep in the tennis game this week.
You know, I tweeted something.
Played some doubles with Sibby at Sea Island.
Earlier, I tweeted something earlier today about like college, you know, pairings in this thing, and somebody tweeted back if Anthony Kim and Tiger were a pairing, and I was like, well, what about Noda and Tiger? You know, we could get a live feed into Tiger's couch with Noda sitting there next to him.
What if they let Noda and Tiger play it like in a video game?
Tiger Woods 2007.
Yeah, it's like virtual, but they get to count their score.
What, I mean, do we really need to talk about Tiger? Is it?
No, it was totally unnecessary. Disgusting that was even brought up.
Well, I thought that's what you brought up when you said, speaking of Woods.
Yeah, I was thinking.
Oh, I wanted to talk about the Big Cedar Lodge.
Let's get into it.
So, Carlos Franco, baby.
I mean,
BJ, the Big Fijian.
Big Fijian just iron playing that place to death.
I am in shock that Steve Stricker hasn't won a Champions Tour event yet.
It's kind of like what TA said. Some of these guys just come out and they think they're going to run shit, and then they get bodied hard and realize that...
Well, I mean, Stricker almost won the first week. Like, he lost by one or two. He's in the final
group. I don't think his competitiveness and energy level is... I think the Champions Tour is like a step up from the PGA Tour as far as... like grinding and like putting and not wasting shots. I swear to God, you guys are laughing. I swear to God. No, like it's like kill or be killed out there. They eat their young on the Champions Tour.
It's just filled with guys that still are hitting their competitive apex. You know, they haven't
Well, exactly. It's guys that like they really didn't fully take advantage. And so they've got this residual hunger
like
from unfulfilled potential on the PGA Tour.
Like Bernhard had the yips, which held him back from being. And now he's just, you know, taking it all out with his long putter on, you know, Jay Haas.
I could see it. I mean, you know more about the course setup stuff, but like, not that the pins are set up easy, the course is set up easy or anything like that, but I wonder if there's something to the fact that, like, a lot of these dudes, I mean, they've won so much, it's really like a, you know, they're not looking to finish T12, so I wonder if it's just like, there's just going to be a hot hand every week, and they're just hitting at every flag, I feel like, and just trying to go crazy, crazy, crazy low each week, and, like, it's just hard to beat, like, I don't know if this is making any sense, but it's just hard to beat when there's going to be at least one red hot guy every week.
You know, they put the pins in the middle a lot there. Like, they don't tuck them as much. You know who that's not for is Justin Rose is not going to be playing the Champions Tour.
Yeah, that's where he thrives.
So, I don't know. I think we've talked.
That's where Stricker thrives too. It's a great wedge game.
Yeah. So the Champions Tour had this team event. We had some good teams too. Fred Funk and Jeff Sluman.
That's such a good team.
Is Jeff Sluman still sponsored by Paychex?
I hope so. If he's not, I want my money back.
Who finished second there?
Goydos and Sutherland.
That's
like
a great team.
Goydos, Sutherland.
Those guys are best friends.
Corey Pavin. Shout out to the Rat family. Duffy Waldorf. Those two paired together, and then Olin Brown and Steve Pate. That's is Steve team. Pate the volcano? Or is that Jerry Pate?
Jerry Pate.
I've banished him from my memory from that one year when the match play was like Pate, and I think like both the Sutherland brothers. And
are you talking about the Ryder Cup?
I don't know. It was the match play when they had it back at La Costa, I think.
Oh, the first year.
Oh my God, that was so bad.
Kevin Sutherland won, right?
Yeah. The final four was like literally the four most nondescript guys you could possibly.
Wasn't he the 64 seed? That
yeah, he was.
He beat Big Cat in the first round.
Yeah, I think he did.
R.I.P.
Yeah. So what do you guys think about this New Orleans tournament?
Very pumped.
I'm excited. Let me guess, contrarian Andy is not excited.
No, I kind of love it. The one thing I don't like is that, like, say the Koepkas win, Chase Koepka just gets a 2-year card on tour. Like, he's on
the tour. Does he get your card if you win?
Yeah.
So, like, I know they're not doing world ranking points.
But it's pretty much everything else.
And you get
except
half
for the FedEx
match,
except for the match. I think you get, like,
you get FedEx.
I think you get, like, 400.
But you get half the points you would normally get.
I think you split, like, yeah, first and second. I think they
Do you split it? Is it 200-200?
I'm not sure. I think that you get first and second, and then you split it.
Huh.
Not positive, though. Need like, a Will Gray or Justin Ray.
I mean, yeah, I see where you're coming from, but that's, like, one guy out of the field also.
I just don't think, you know, like, I mean, Brooks Koepka almost won last week. Like,
you know what? Like, we didn't touch on the about Valero, but the wedge shot that Brooks hit into 18 was boss.
Yeah.
Hit it to, like, a foot when he had to make birdie to tie.
I'm going to abstain from any Brooks tips.
Just objectively, it was a good shot.
Yeah, it was a good shot. I mean, can we put to bed, like, the, like, a lot of tour players walk up to the green when they hit a wedge shot. Like, a lot of amateurs do that too. Like, that's not tour sauce. Can we put that to bed? Like
I disagree. I think that is tour sauce, but I'll defer to.
Like, I'll be playing in the Lake County AM, and I'll have a 20-yard wedge shot, and I'll walk up and look at the green to say.
Yeah, but I think
you're allegedly a plus three.
I think he had like 90 yards though.
Well, he needed to see where the pin was. He knew
to
get up and down.
No, I'm with you. But it's a long walk. I don't see a lot of amateurs walking it off from 90 yards.
Yeah. Can we stop talking about the Valero? That is such a bad tournament.
Sorry. Yeah, I
it's not that
bad. That's my thing.
As much as I hate the golf course, I think it's actually a decent golf course for a golf tournament.
It usually turns out pretty exciting.
Yeah, like, they have good leaderboards.
18's cool.
Like, the field is miserable, and it had Chapel, Finau, Koepka. Who else was there that tied for it? Kevin Tway. But, like, the field was...
Ryan Palmer was up there for a while.
The field was miserable, and three of probably the biggest names were at the top. I kind of think it was. I think it's a terrible place for anybody to play that's not a pro, but kind of a good course for a pro tournament.
The AT&T Oaks course.
I can't believe it's a sponsored course.
I mean, I guess that's kind of smart, though, right? Everybody's paying all these big dollars for names on the actual tournament, but swoop in.
Yeah.
Give them a little check for to name it after your company, the actual course. It's kind of gerrymandering the sponsorship there a little bit.
I wonder how much it costs. Because I'd love to sponsor a golf course. You know, the fried egg course. And
you got
I'm sure a lot of people would want to play it out.
You got your eye on some?
I might start with, like, a, you know...
The course I grew up at just closed. You could probably pick that thing up for...
Well, I don't want to
own
it.
It's like an hour from your house.
I don't want to own it. I just want to pay a little dollar amount
to
be, like, you know, Lake Bluff Golf. Hey, DJ, why do you hate New Orleans?
It's a loaded question. First of all, that's a bit of a bastardization of my stance on the issue, I think. I don't know, man. I've been there a couple times. It's just not my speed.
Not your tempo?
Not my tempo. I'm sure...
You say you don't like poor people.
I'm sure that there are awesome parts of the city that I have not seen yet. But the whole, I don't know, the quarter is, you know, it's cool to walk around in the morning, like, get some coffee and kind of look at the architecture and that kind of stuff. I'm into that, into the history of it, but, like... You know, it's just not my favorite place to spend some time.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of this boils down to, and I think this is where we can find some common ground, is I just don't like that kind of food. I'm not saying it's bad food. I'm not saying the restaurants are bad.
How do you not like that kind
I just
food?
Don't like that kind of, I don't know. I'm not deep in the shellfish
game.
That's
the only reason to go to New Orleans.
Yeah.
Tron's in with big shellfish, though. You should see the massacre he had at. Spicy, juicy crawfish the other night. So, This is what I'm talking about. This is what happens when you float an opinion out there.
No, it's like, all right, you don't like butter, salt, shellfish.
Who doesn't like a good etchy fish? Very clear about that. What about gumbo? Do you like gumbo?
Yeah, it's the best thing in the world.
It's okay. Look, do we really want to break this down? But what kind of food I like?
I mean, I'm just alarmed that you went to Buffalo Wild Wings when you were in New Orleans.
That was an invitation. That was an invitation from a good friend.
Yeah. Can we talk
to watch the Bulls? That's why they were in the playoffs. If you must know, and we're looking for a restaurant next to the course.
Was this when Tibbs was that coach?
Yeah, it was. It was me and the brothers Guthrie, friends
of
the podcast.
Hey, I'll waive it because of the Bulls. I'm a big Bulls fan. So
I'd do it again. I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
I would do that too. Actually, you're abstained. So. Hey, what do you guys think about the format? Do you like the alternate shot, best ball? You know, what do you think?
I'm still pissed they didn't do a scramble, and so many people got after me yesterday when I said that on Twitter. They're like, "Oh, that's not real golf, man." I'm like,
I would be so into watching.
Who gives a shit? Like this is an alternate shot, best ball event. You're telling me that a scramble on Friday or Saturday wouldn't be fantastic.
Like, I mean, I feel like scramble is just as weird as alternate shot.
Alternate shot is, in my mind,
into,
more gimmicky.
That's, yeah,
like,
I'm into
alternate
it.
If I'm a spectator, really hard.
I hate alternate shot. Like,
I like it. We don't see enough of it. It was cool, actually. I was listening to Harold on the... Sorry. I had a feeling that was going to happen.
Damn it.
I was listening to Harold on the No Laying Up podcast this morning, and... I mean, he was like literally couldn't remember the last time he played alternate shot. And you start thinking about it, and it's like, well, man, all these young dudes like never play this format, and then they go
hashtag,
play in the Ryder Cup for the first time, and like
better.
It's awful. And so I'm super into seeing alternate shot.
Well, so three of the four par threes this week are odd numbered.
That's interesting.
Two. So you really have to game plan.
Strategy.
Yeah.
With
but,
strategy,
I don't know. Just from a spectator perspective, if there's only there's 70 teams, 72 teams, something like that.
Something like that.
There's not that many shots in alternate shot.
It's
only two guys are in
the age
group.
Play faster.
It's true, but I don't know. I mean, a scramble.
What about a shamble? Where you both hit the tee shot, you pick the best tee shot, and you play your own ball in from there.
Love that.
I think that's
like
kind of
the
bad.
Best format to play for amateurs.
I'm kind of all in on the shamble.
Love the shamble.
It's but
Andy, what's the breakdown of this course?
It's a Pete Dye. It's got wide. It's got width.
It's like the easiest Pete Dye in the world, though, right?
No, the
at
greens
least for the pros.
The
I mean,
greens,
the greens
have,
are wonky.
Yeah, the greens have like you gotta hit really good shots to have good putts at birdie.
A lot of railroad ties.
Yeah, there's a lot of water. There's a lot of bunkers. You know, it's a pretty mediocre tour course, but it's
18 is cool.
It's like the best course in New Orleans, and New Orleans is like the worst golf city in America. So,
right ahead of Nashville.
Ooh, Nashville might be right there too.
Bad.
And then I guess it's going to move to that new Reese Jones course in a couple of years.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Talk about the budget on that course.
I guess like $5 million went to some water reclamation program or something, but
even then, it still paid.
I don't know how somebody spends that kind of money on that guy, but that's another talk for another day.
That was family tradition.
Yeah.
How do you think these guys pick their teams?
That is a great question. It's like
just dying to get.
Oh,
teams.
For sure.
So, who's your favorite obscure team? Like, just
100%. So easy.
Levine,
not even a question.
Rocco.
Yeah, Spencer Levine and Rocco.
Okay, you can only get one. So, Tron, who's your favorite team? Now that DJ took
yours. You said it first. Let me pick another one. Hold on.
Yeah, I just peed on that team. That's my team. How about Cantlay and Reed?
Oh, I love just from a like head scratching perspective. Sabatini and DeChambeau.
Oh,
it's very interesting.
It's
the fact that that one's not PGA Tour Live is a disgrace.
Yeah, that's
shout out to Swiatek.
I actually
Streben Merritt.
Streben Merritt, I'm into.
What about Charlie Wee and KJ Choi.
I thought Charlie Wee, like, retired.
I know.
Didn't he have, like, didn't he have a thing, like, a couple months ago where he was like, I'm hanging it up, thanks for everything?
He's must be bringing it back. Like, maybe, do you think KJ, like, got on the phone and said, Charlie, I need you for this event?
Maybe. I think, you know what, he's played really well at this course before.
What about Y.E. Yang? Why isn't KJ playing with Y.E.?
Oh, you know what I love is the Kyle Ramey, Phil Schmidt team. You want to talk us through that one?
Yeah, so I saw these guys, and I'm like, who the hell are these guys? And I did some hard research. I mean, like, I Googled, like, 18 different things before I finally found who these guys were. And they're section PGA guys, so they're, like, club pros who won Louisiana PGA events and got into the field.
That's awesome. I hope they just take it deep.
I kind of hope they win. Because they get exemptions.
They would be PGA Tour players.
I got a couple to kind of highlight here. Freddie Yock and Willie Wilcox. I want to know the backstory on that one, like how that one came about. They seem like
it's a couple dudes that like having a good time. Like,
doesn't seem like your son's namesake's kind of partner.
No, that one kind of made me scratch my head a little bit.
ZB and CT Pan, I'm big into that team.
The Bread Man.
Those guys, CT Pan's got game. It's got to play firm and fast. Has it been raining in New Orleans?
Probably.
What about Wei Kim and Greg Owen?
Yeah, that one didn't do much for me, to be honest.
Like, I want to know if there was a pool of guys, like 20 or 30 guys that just were like, hey, just like pair them with whoever, man. And so they just like either randomly selected guys out of a hat or what. But
I think I heard Seamus Power and Stephen Alker were a complete random pair.
Really? Just like show up? It's kind of like when you just show up as a single and they just pair you with somebody?
Hey, what are Brian Stewart's chances of defending his crown with Chris Stroud?
That's DJ's boy.
Oh, Chris Stroud? I think Chris Stroud has played well here in the past, too. I could see it. I could see there being some local knowledge. Fans are going to get behind him as a past champion.
I think Willie Mack and Steve Marino might be.
That's a couple guys that like having a good time.
Yeah. So that should be part of the scramble. That they have to go out and crush a few beers during the scramble.
Smoke a couple bowls.
I think you guys are just describing like a golf outing at this point.
No, that's what they should.
Just like a charity golf tournament.
That's what the New Orleans event should be.
I like Michael Kim and Brandon Hagee. That's kind of an under the radar one.
Cal Bears.
Yeah.
Teammates. So many.
A lot of college partners.
Yeah. So I feel like we've got some de jure segregation here.
Go on.
I think it's de facto and de jure. I think de jure is like kind of a matter of circumstance or like kind of by choice, whereas de facto is by law. Maybe I might be mixing those up. Whatever. You've got the Canadian dudes playing together, and then like
which Canadian dudes?
Delay and the Hitman,
and then
Dave the Hitman Hurd. Yeah. That's a good team, President's Cup team.
Mackenzie Hughes is playing with somebody else, some other Canadian. I forgot who.
Well, that's why I was curious.
But the random pairing was Xander Schauffele and Tag Riding.
How's Tag Riding?
You're like the only person I think who even would know. Remotely, like those. What are those guys' backgrounds?
Dude, Xander. I'm kind of in. I'm in on Xander Schauffele. He makes a ton of birdies, and he went to like San Diego State. He's only gotten like the problem with these rookies is they don't get any starts. Like, I was looking at.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Bobby Wyatt's gotten 5 starts this year. 5.
He's not fully exempt though, right?
Wyatt's
fully exempt.
Yeah,
he balled out here last year.
Yeah, he came in. He almost won last year, but he's gotten 5 starts this year. 5, like
but
it's
going all right.
I can get way down with this Russell Henley Blaine Barber team.
Very much so.
Like that a lot.
Can we talk about Tom Hoagie and JJ Henry?
TCU, man.
Oh, it's TCU. Yeah. Oh, you went TCU. Oh.
Couple frogs.
Another one. What about your boy Smiley?
And HV3. I think the moment might be a little big.
Smiley's playing a home game, probably entertaining people. Got some pressure on him.
I saw he went to the Pelicans, place, and then I think he was somewhere else. I think Smiley might be on the up and up. He made a cut last week.
I think the landlord is trending as well.
I think Smiley's just trying to cash in on his 5 minutes of fame.
I really like Wes Bryant and Ryan Blom. Jack's Beach is Ryan Blom.
Ryan Blom is
going to be a lot of birds in that group.
I'm one of my fantasy squads. Big fan of Blom.
All right, going back.
Oh, sorry. I got a couple good ones.
We got Finau and Summerhays. Two Mormons are paired up together.
Like that?
You've got, do you think Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño thinks that Martin Flores speaks Spanish?
Dude, to anyone who has never dealt with Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño, remedy that. That guy
big
is
fan.
The best.
He fucks.
He's awesome. Yeah.
Do you think Herman and Cody Gribble are going to talk about Republican politics?
It's possible.
How about Oosthuizen and Grace? That's a formidable.
That's nice. Pair.
Let me ask you this question: is there anybody you'd rather play in a team event more than with Louis Oosthuizen? I feel like he'd just be the best partner.
Totally. Just like never
doesn't
out of a
care
hole.
If you hit a bad shot or a good shot.
Like you make like a 10 and you're like, sorry, Louis, and he's like, oh, whatever.
You know what team might be, I don't know, is either gonna win by 100 or like,
I think I know where you're going with this.
Berger and Thomas Peters.
That team might be vibing too much.
They might be vibing too hard.
I could not be more out on the Brendan Steele, Keegan Bradley.
Yeah,
like unsubscribe.
That's not great. Patrick Reed and Patrick Cantlay is interesting.
That seems like just two guys that just really, really want to win.
Totally. Yeah, I think that is like, cool, man. I'll see you at the course tomorrow at 9 a.m.
I don't want to talk to you all fucking day.
I know Cantlay's like the quietest person ever. So like
he's probably just a killer though, man. He's just an assassin. Love that guy.
So do you think Reed is well positioned for this event from a vibe perspective and from kind of a it's not a match play, but it's got a little bit of team.
First question is, are his clubs dialed in?
Don't even get me fired up on that. That was one of the more shameful displays of professionalism I've ever seen. Just disgusting. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Next question.
I mean, I think Cantlay, I think is going to be, I mean, I've been all over Cantlay for like, I've been waiting 2.5 years for this moment. But
is it fair to say that you can't lay up on him?
Yeah, I can't lay up on him. But he's like a stoic killer. Like, Yeah, Big Stu Hagestad was telling me like he's never not like
he's Slender Man. Yeah.
He's never not
Big Stu.
He's like never not like very calm and stoic. Like in any moment,
Which is kind of what Reed needs, right? Because he's gonna be just alpha as hell. And he just needs like a partner who's like quiet and just hits really good shots. I feel like, I don't know, maybe not. I also like,
and who doesn't stink when he's playing with?
Well, when him and Spieth, when him and Spieth play together, I guess Jordan kind of like fires him up. So I don't really know. I'm very interested to see how that goes.
Are we in or out on the Spieth Palmer?
Oh, way in on that.
I too.
I love Ryan Palmer.
He's one of my favorite trad specialists.
Yeah, he's just a pro's pro. Yeah. Just gets it done.
I have no opinion.
I mean, we haven't really talked about any of. We've spent 20 minutes.
Yeah, are we buying or selling the big name?
We haven't looked at any of these chalk pairings here. I mean, Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson is like pretty wildly
decent. I don't think they're gonna make putts though.
What do you think about what's JJ Day gonna be? We haven't seen much of him this year.
And Richard Fowler.
both these guys are kind of like Pete Dye sneaky specialists, you know?
Yeah, but I would have to I feel like I could be wrong about this, but I don't think Ricky ever does much at this event because he's always got like so much Zurich stuff to do.
Just
I feel like
big insurance.
I think he I don't think he's played well here. It does seem like he would.
So
he's just hanging out with the actuaries the whole time.
Well, I think you know, Fowler won the Players. He's won it. He's got die success, and then you got Dave won. Dave's won Players and at Whistling Straits. I kind of think they're a sneaky team because of the course, but I don't know.
Do you think the die is cast?
The die might have been cast. I mean, they could be just, you know, they're obviously like the biggest favorites. What about
Bubba,
this Chapel?
Bubba and JB Holmes. Bubba coming off that jet lag, but played well last week. Those two played well at the Ryder Cup.
I'm kind of disappointed that JB Holmes is paired with Bubba.
Has Bubba ever played well at
Wait. Why? All right, like good way, a bad way? Like,
I just
because you like JB Holmes, or because you just think
I kind of like JB Holmes, and I just don't like that he's, you know, paired with Bubba. I'm not like, I don't really have an opinion on JB Holmes, but you know, now I don't know. Who are they going to play with the
Russell Knox? I got my eye on that one.
Yeah, I like that.
For whatever reason, it's just
what about this question? Are they going to play with the Volvic during alternate shot?
Oh, that's a great question.
Well, here's another question. Is Bubba actually playing with the Volvic still? Or do you think they're just painting Pro V1s? Little bait and switch action.
No idea.
Would be a good call. I wonder about that. Like when some guy signs a big deal and like then he gets the ball or the club and it's complete trash. Like, I mean, like we saw Zach Johnson painted on top of a Titleist when it was supposed to be a PXG last year. But like I bet Bubba, that could be Bubba's resurgent play.
Should I know who Richie Werenski is?
Fun fact, first golf story I ever wrote was about Richie Werenski at a junior tournament. Great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, super
big,
nice.
Big break winner.
He was.
Is he a Georgia Tech guy?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Top three on the web tour last year, too.
I sound like Riggsy here. Brendan Todd. Trying to do a little piggyback riding on to Chris Kirk. Who's Kisner playing with?
Yeah, Kisner's downtown Scott Brown.
Scott Brown, the new ambassador to New Zealand. If there's a cushier job in the world, I haven't seen it.
What about Dirt McGirt and Robert Garrigus?
I don't know if I like that one.
Sneaky
Garrigus Garrigus hasn't really been kind of a missing person for a while. What's that?
I mean, I think he might be tired.
Yeah, he's been playing a ton.
That's what he does, though.
This seems like a good course for him.
He is the most overlooked player on the good player on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
So is this just going to come down to a putting contest?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I'm like just fascinated to see how everything goes.
You got to have guys that are putting the ball in play, like both of them. Like the key is having two good looks.
That's why I think Spieth and Palmer might be just all like coming up on
Palmer's,
gonna
be really
Palmer's
great.
Putter.
Yeah,
Palmer's putter can get a little hot. Keep scrolling down.
Alex Chaik and Soren Kjeldsen into that.
Weather's not going to be bad enough for Soren. He needs that.
That's true. Yeah, there are a couple of mutters.
God, Malnati, Mark Wilson. That's like the undercard.
What about the Champions Tour bid for Stricker and Kelly?
Former Franklin Templeton Shootout winners together.
That'd be amazing.
They got the vibes.
If they didn't win at Top of the Rock last week, and then they came here and won.
You know what they should have done is Vijay and Carlos Franco should have parlayed that win into a spot in this field.
That would be sweet.
That'd be sweet. They should do that next year.
Yeah.
All right, Justin Thomas and Colley. Colley's on kind of Colley's a heater right
playing
now.
Well.
That's a good sneaky team.
His tempo makes me uncomfortable because it's so similar to my own. Like he gets
after it.
He gets way too quick at the top, especially on Sundays.
He's playing Bomb and Gadget, Windsor Park Golf Club. Oh, here in Jackson.
There's a young, a pairing of the young and the old Argentine with Cabrera and Etulain. Etulain's a rookie.
Yeah. It's like the Charles Schwab mentor series.
Deep pull.
This is a deep pull.
Reifers and beef. We got Mitty.
Beef and marinara.
Marinara. And we got a little Italian deal there. And I think Reifers is sponsored by a jerky company, too. Prime Cuts or
Perky Jerky?
No, it's not Perky Jerky, and it's not King Made. It's like a...
Just so much beef jerky.
Yeah. The beef jerky lobby is strong on tour.
What your Barstool boys were with beef today.
That's a match made in heaven right there.
I don't think we can judge beef by the company he keeps.
I should have included him on that overexposed.
I think beef is just looking to have a good time, whoever's around.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's just...
Yeah. I think he's a good guy. He's a victim of circumstance.
Is the Michael Thompson Tim Wilkinson pairing, is that on the is that on the what's the
PGA Tour Live?
The Interpol watch list.
tell me, Tron, if there were four teams in contention, what would be your worst four nightmare?
That would be one of them. Let's see here. Sean Stephanie and John Rollins.
John Rollins College.
Shea Reavy.
Shea Reve.
Shea Reve. Chez Reavy and Lucas Glover, probably.
Major champion, man.
I know. I keep going. I need a good one. Stewart's past champ here. I mean, Mark Wilson and Malnati's tough to talk.
That's
Andy's got a lot of Chicago listeners not going to be happy with your Mark Wilson slander.
I'll tell you who might win this thing.
Please.
Fabian Gomez and Johnny Vegas. Those guys consistently punch above their weight.
Fabian's what, two-time winner? Is Vegas a two-time winner also?
I think so. That's kind of a sneaky team.
They are could those get the hot. Two most underrated two-time winners in the history?
It might be.
I let me tell you who I'm rooting for.
Actually, Brendan Steele and Keegan. I want to sub them in on that terrorist watch list that I put together.
How about Tyrell Hatton and Jamie Donaldson?
What's Jamie Donaldson been up to?
I don't know. I
think he might have been playing last week. Was he playing Ryder Cup and then? Was he playing last week in China? I feel like
the Shenzhen.
Last year he had that vicious chainsaw accident with his thumb.
That's right. Yeah, forgot about that.
It was the most.
He went full Greg Norman.
Yeah, that was awful.
Never full Greg Norman.
What are the chances of Kyle Ramey and Paul Schmidt making the cut?
So how does the cut work? What is it?
It's top 35 in time.
Okay, so it's what? Best ball one day, alternate shot one day, cut, and then do it again?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably not going to make the cut, I don't think. I would love it if they would. I mean, there's a lot of like pretty good teams.
Is that
should they call this the member guest?
You know, that would... Well, nah, never mind.
That's what they should do.
No, I was just thinking that, and then you look at, like, the pro-ams that are out there, and, like...
Then it basically just turns into, like, the Tavistock Cup.
Yeah, I don't know that sounds as good as it sounds.
If you guys are getting a... If you got a spot, you got the sponsor's exemption, what pro are you going to call up to say, I want you as my partner?
Try Justin Huber, undefeated.
I don't think anybody knows.
If he's not available, he had a wicked case of food poisoning this week down in Mexico. Yeah, bummer story.
He's a all-you-can-eat sushi.
He might have been trying to find some all-you-can-eat sushi down in Mexico. Man, I mean, alternate shot and best ball.
Are you trying to win?
You're looking for a guy
trying
who just,
to hang out.
Well, that's a good question.
You're not gonna win. You're you.
That's true. Okay. So really, we're looking like which player could do the best with my tee shots, essentially.
Yeah, you actually might want like Luke Donald.
Yeah, maybe just someone who can just scramble. I mean, I think I'm picking speed in this.
I knew you were gonna pick speed.
How would you not? You want somebody who just keeps it in play and makes a million birdies.
Who are you picking, Andy?
I don't know. I'd probably take I think I'd pick Louis O, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Although you guys might be too chill together.
You guys might miss your tee time.
You know, I was
You're hanging out at Buffalo Wild Wings too late. You missed your tee time.
I almost missed my tee time this weekend in a tournament. We were same thing. We were just.
Did you tie one on or what?
I was really hungover.
It's the cocktail circuit.
And then it was just all of a sudden, my partner and I are just kind of laid back people, and we were like, oh shit, we gotta get going. We hit like 10 balls. We barely hit them. We barely hit the ball on the range, and then we were on the tee. It was a struggle.
Failing to prepare is preparing to fail.
You know, we got off to a good start, so we had this par 3 second. It was like 160 yards, and it's like a really small green. We both hit it to 10 feet, and we were like high fiving on the way to the green, and then we both three putted.
Oof!
I tell you who I'm picking. I'm picking Freddie Jakobsen.
That's a good pick.
Because he's getting me out of any sort of pickle we find ourselves in.
I might pick Spencer, honestly. If I'm not trying to win, I might pick.
He's so intense, though.
I know, it'd be awesome.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think we'd vibe pretty well together. I think it'd be a yin and yang situation.
What about Dubuisson? Just get a sulky Frenchman just roaming around the fairways.
Out. He's kind of disappeared, huh?
He's gotten like fat.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, I saw him last year. I was like, that's not the same guy.
Might need to get him on Roast My Swing.
I can't believe he's getting fat on none of those monosaturated fatty French foods over there.
All right, what else we need to cover here?
I don't think there's much more. I think
overrated, underrated. Close it out.
Yeah,
right, Andy, how do you feel about the Great Hazard?
Oh, so underrated.
If anybody listened to the woke doke podcast that Andy did,
I really doubt that there's anybody that's listening to this podcast that didn't listen to the doke one that chose this one
that's
over the
true.
Joke one.
That's true.
Yeah,
if you are, shout out. First time listener, long time.
Yeah.
All right, so let's we'll do some overrated, underrated. We'll do.
I feel like the whole podcast should just be overrated, underrated.
Victoria National.
Oh,
last
underrated.
Week's web.com tour event.
Underrated. That place was awesome.
Underrated in general or underrated by our estimation?
I think it's just whatever pops in your head.
I think I may have pimped it so hard last week that it's now over.
That's fair. It did look just brutal. There were definitely some strategy going on there, though. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, it's that course is just so hard.
How many tee boxes is too many tee boxes?
What do the tee boxes look like?
It's like on each hole.
Victoria National. There's like 100 tee boxes on every hole.
So I think that a tee box, like it should be almost indistinguishable. You know, that's what the not always, but. I think, like, if you blend some of the tee boxes in with, you know, it shouldn't look so bad. But I don't know. I think you should have a lot of tee boxes. Like, I should be able to play a hole wherever the hell I want to play. I was talking to some guy that was playing a course, and he's like, they changed this hole from a par 5 to a par 4. And I was, and he's like, so now I always go for the green when I used to lay up. And I'm like, why?
That makes no sense.
Like, he's, I mean,
I would probably do the same thing. Like, I, not consciously, but I could see that being a subconscious thing that you just end up doing.
So question is par
overrated, underrated? Par.
It's way overrated. It's just a number.
So, the most overrated.
Yeah. So do you think people overrate par as a matter of strategy?
Yes.
Okay.
I think people just overrate the thing of par. Like, everybody talks about, like, oh, Riviera, like, the first hole should be a par 4. But then the hole going back is, like, the same yardage, and it goes, like, uphill and into the ocean wind and is a par 4. So, like, really, the two holes are both, like, par 4.5.
Yeah, they're both 4.5, right.
So if you get out of there with 9, like, you're like, oh, I'm even par. But, like, if you get out of there with 8, you're like, oh, I got a good start.
They always write that story about Wylie also, number 9. Yeah. And, like, literally every year there's, like, 4 stories that are like, but should it be a par 4? Who cares? You make 3.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
It's like, it's this whole thing where, like, you need to have, like, it has to be a par 72. Why? Like, why can't it be a par 75?
Or there's a couple par 69s. And, I don't mean that in, like, the pejorative sense. I mean, like...
No, it's awesome.
Like,
totally.
They're put up in Massachusetts. And it's like, Wanamoyset, Bass Rocks, there's a couple other ones. And it's like, I don't... It has no bearing on the round to me unless you just look down at the scorecard. You know?
Yeah, agreed.
All right, so are you a fan of the long runway tee boxes then? Just going back to tee boxes, kind of like the Robert Trent Jones Sr. style tee boxes?
I don't mind long. I was at this place, Pine Tree, last week that's got really cool, like, super long tee boxes. But they're, like, really narrow. They're, like, 5 yards wide, and they'll be, like, 100 yards long. And they'll have double tee boxes where it'll be the same 5 yards wide, and it'll be one hole going the other way and one hole going the other way. I don't know. Tee boxes are apparently the hardest thing to build and make them look natural.
I love when they...
So here's a question. Tee boxes, overrated, underrated in general? Like, would you rather just not have any tee boxes? Kind of like
a
stream song where you just don't have any tee boxes whatsoever.
My dream is to build a course with just like the sheep ranches, apparently.
Just green complexes.
Just like greens, and you get it just teed up wherever you want.
One of my favorite things to do, we do this sometimes if you've played a course 100 times and you're playing a match, it's just whoever wins the hole gets to pick the tee on the next hole.
Love it.
You know, it could be
all the way back, all the way up, whatever you want to do.
What's really fun is to play the ladies' tees and see how low you shoot. A lot of times you don't even shoot very low, and you're like, what the hell? Like,
you know, really, well, and that's awkward shots, and you try to overpower the hell out of the golf course.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a spot where, like, it does totally get into your head, just like par, where when you're playing up, you're like, well, I should try to get to the green. Like, look how close I am. This is great. And it just doesn't make sense. What I was going to say about tee boxes, though, is, like, I kind of hate when – I'm sure – I don't know if – you'll be able to just school me on this or not, but I hate when you play those narrow tee boxes because I love when a tee box has width and angles. But when the tee can be moved around, especially on like a short par 4, and you can be moved around, that like totally changes the shot shape needed or stuff like that. Like, it makes it a totally completely different hole, which I think is awesome. I love showing up to a tee box on a hole where like I know what I usually hit or whatever, and then they jack the tee all the way to the left. And I'm like, oh man, this is like a different shot. Like, I gotta think about this now.
That's totally acceptable. You know?
Yeah.
Tee boxes come in all different shapes, sizes, and you know.
Persuasions.
Yeah. Weird tangent. Weird tangent we found ourselves on.
Yeah, all right. Like it. Let's get back. Let's do a few more overrated, underrated.
All right. What are you guys thinking about Tony Finau?
Ryder Cupper. Won a couple of big matches at the Ryder Cup and
You should clarify, you don't actually
think he's won a FedEx Cup event.
What
up, Riggsy?
Man, I think I'm going to say overrated. I think I've said underrated on everything you've ever asked us, but I'm going to say overrated. Also, the swing, that swing that he hit into 18.
He kind of made it from 18. That looked, I feel like that's your last thing.
That looked like my roast my swing.
That was the last thing you saw of him, though. So I feel like that's kind of colored.
Maybe. I don't know. I've never quite bought in. I don't know what it is.
I think he's underrated. I think he's a phenomenal talent, and I think he's the fact that he won the Puerto Rico Open last year.
Ooh, you love the Puerto Rico.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Big fan.
All right, we'll do Hideo Tanihara. Is he getting overrated? He's in the featured group this week.
I don't know, man. He was a giant killer at the match play.
Is he getting overrated?
Is Hideo Tanihara overrated? Man, great question.
something that nobody's ever thought of.
I'm gonna say he's not overrated at this point. I'm gonna say he's accurately rated.
What about TPC Sawgrass?
Way underrated.
To be determined on the Toronto Carter spectrum.
Not enough data in 35 years.
No, I mean, I don't know. I've played it, four or five times now, including junior days. I want to see how these new greens come in. I want to see how it plays during the tournament. They're going to be really firm this year.
They were way firm.
I want to see how they come in. And I like the changes that they made, though. But there's some holes out there. But there's some really awesome holes. So, to be determined.
The back nine has just gotten so good with the way they changed 12. Which, I don't know. Hopefully 12 goes well this year. Hopefully people like it. I think it's going to be cool. Because it was such a throwaway hole before, but I mean, the back nine, like 10 is kind of whatever, I think.
10's kind of mediocre.
But 11's an awesome par 5, 12's awesome, 13's awesome.
13's
14 is awesome to watch someone else play. It sucks to play yourself. It's so hard. 15's kind of whatever. 15's, it's pretty, but, and then 16, 17, 18 are all awesome.
I think 4 is the best hole in the course.
Agree. 4 is awesome.
Just DJ showing that he works for the tour. I've never heard awesome so many times.
Next, he's going to start trying to sell you on the Dye Valley course.
Love the Valley course. You want me to go hole by hole there? It's great.
We're good. Yeah. Penal golf.
It is hard.
Penal
golf. It's difficult.
It's a penal colony out there.
All right. Well, I think we're done here.
All right. Overrated, underrated. You can't just tap out here. What do you think?
I'm holding out my opinion. I get to see it in person for the first time in 2 weeks, so I'm not gonna weigh in on what I think before I see.
Big summit coming up in Ponte Vedra Beach.
Big huge.
It's gonna be like a Manhattan Project down there, getting all those great minds together.
My wife told me Freddie is not allowed to come unsupervised without her.
Yeah,
to the blog cast.
A lot of people are, for those that don't know, going down to the players. So there's going to be a large get-together.
G8 summit.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I might have to, you know, rent a different house to keep my contrarian views in order, not get too wrapped up in the mainstream hype.
That's smart. Good thinking.
We're going to set you up with Doug Ferguson. You guys are going to rent a house down the street.
Ferguson lives here. Doesn't need to rent the house.
I don't even... I've never met him. What is he like?
I don't know.
He's a very smart dude. Good reporter. Probably the best reporter out there. I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
How about the one about Rory's wedding today?
Ugh.
How about all of the ones about
Rory? Huh?
Rory, I know I was telling you guys this earlier. Rory is unabashedly my favorite athlete in all of sports, and I can't tell you how little it's crossed my mind, like what his wedding was like and how selfish it was that he did a charity photos with us. Like, what a creepy take to have. All of these people are like, you know, he owes this to the media. Like, that is so, that's the creepiest. To, like, be that, like, desperate to see photos that are just going to get passed around. Like, you've seen how many times they've used that one photo of those two on the back of the golf cart. Like, if I say Rory McIlroy and Erik Staal, what's the first photo that pops in your head? It's the same one of him in the suit from the Ryder Cup. And you see what happens when they let that one photo out. Like, what's going to happen when they let anything else out?
Dude, what's going to happen when that pole vault chick comes out to Sawgrass and follows Ricky?
It's just... It's
people are gonna lose their minds.
Golf Digest is gonna divert coverage from the final round and just head straight over to the pole vaulter and being.
I think I have digestive tract issues.
Well, things are just digressing. I think we're gonna have to call this one now.
I think we got it. I think we covered it all.
Crooked low energy, Andy.
It's getting late. I still got a newsletter to write.
You're on Central Time.
Hey, you know, if anybody doesn't subscribe, join the Fried Egg newsletter. You'll get more high energy, Andy, more often.
You get great headlines, though.
Great headlines.
You've been in the zone on that front.
Yeah, I got to think about today.
Bird notice.
Bird. There were so many contenders for the last headline. Bird notice.
One last thing. Can we talk about the rules thing? I didn't click on anything, like, out of a matter of... philosophy today? Like, what was the rule stuff about?
You know, like, nothing bothers me more than golf rules, and I've just tuned them all out, but it's something with visual evidence, and I've got to write about it, but yeah, I don't understand why everybody's up in arms about it, like, and why everybody feels the need to weigh an opinion. Like, it's like, it affects like 1% of the tournaments played.
Not going to affect very many of our rounds, I don't think. Viewers calling in, that kind of thing.
Speak for yourself. We've got a USGA
not
regular. Not until I got uninvited.
USGA regulator.
All right.
On that note, we're out. Andy, thanks for having us on, dude.
All right. Later.
All right, man. Take care.